Hello and welcome to The Ether. Today is Tuesday, May 17th, 2022. Today on The Ether, number one foundations at Ground Zero, hosted by Luna Omics and Hutch. Wait, what's that? Oh, Zero-onomics. Zero-nomics. Hosted by Zero-onomics and Hutch. Let's take a listen.
Hey, Hutch.
Hey.
How's it going?
Good. How about you, Shigio?
Doing good, doing good.
I was hoping this would translate to my Bluetooth, but it did not, but that's okay. I have to do some shuttling of children around, but that's okay. In fact, I'm almost to the point where I'm picking them up, and I might put them on the spot. They have no idea I'm doing this.
That's great. Yeah, it's been a crazy past couple weeks for I think everybody that's on this space, and I just wanted to I've been here a couple of times before, never from like this height, but when I say this height, like lost this much money before, but with that, I think it's interesting because I feel less psychologically damaged than the first time that it happened. But then the loss is much greater because of how much that was lost. But I've learned lessons from the first two times. The first time was like 80,000. The second time was between a quarter of a million and half a million. And then this time was like around 2 million. So every single time it's larger. And every time I learn more lessons, and you know, I think people could look at it two ways. One is like it's some kind of curse, but then when you listen to people's stories, like I have a bunch of friends that are like multi-millionaires, and they've all gone through the same process. And I think one thing that most millionaires have in common is that they've lost it all multiple times. So I feel in good company. It's just a part of the process, and I mean, the least mistakes that you can make along the way, you know, the better. And so I think people that, you know, this is their first big loss, you know, it's something to be grateful for because you're on the right path, and nobody makes, you know, a large amount of money without having a tremendous amount of strength, and strength only comes through pain. Unless you get it in an inheritance or something, but if you get it in an inheritance, most of the time you don't have the character to like, well, I don't know. I don't want to say that because I've been on Sefi Spaces and whatnot. And he talks about DNA and handling finances and stuff. So I guess everybody comes from their own place. I've personally seen people that have come into money really quickly and have lost it all because they just didn't know what to do with it. So
one of the things I was going to say about that too is, you know, in terms of scraping from the bottom, I've had different types of bottoms. So twice it's been financially, but when I had a bottom in terms of recovering from alcoholism, I didn't hit a financial bottom. Now I wasn't in awesome shape, but I wasn't broke. And in fact, they talk about that in recovery as, you know, being a low bottom drunk or a high bottom drunk. And I was kind of somewhere in between, and I actually joke and say I was a bungee jump bottom because, you know, I actually like went way, like it could have been way worse. Like I lost my job, but you know, like, police came and all this stuff, and it could have been a lot worse, and it wasn't, you know, like, got off with a warning for whatever, being loud and stupid in my final moment of drunkenness. But what I was going to say is, they talk about being spiritually bankrupt. and having a spiritual bottom. And they also, in the program of recovery, call it the gift of desperation. Like you actually have to hit a bottom in order to create a clearing, so to speak, to come from nothingness with transformation, if that makes sense. Like, if you don't bottom out spiritually and you only bottom out financially, and then oftentimes the level of transformation that you probably need won't be able to be accomplished, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, that does make sense. I'm going to just share a couple of learnings in the past week, and then Hutch, I'd like to jump into your story. You have a powerful story of hitting bottom in different areas, and how you're how that's developed strength in your life, and then also how you plan to move forward, and you know what the bottom has benefited you in the past times, and what your hope is moving forward. So, so why don't we get started? I just did a tweet on different foundations that September 11th was the time that the trade centers went down. It was the first time that the foundations were revealed, and one thing that I noticed about that was whenever there's tragedy, it reveals foundations, and foundations are the most important thing in our lives. And money is not a very good foundation to build our lives on, just because money can come and go very quickly, as we've seen in the past couple of weeks. The more that money is our foundation, the more we'll get rocked by it. And, there's people that have lost everything, even their own lives, because of this. And it's one of those things that if our foundation is on money, that when money is gone, we'll feel like, our life is gone as well. I think there's real tangible emotional attachments that we have to money, because it represents our time and our energy, and our time and our energy really is our life. Like, our life is made up of time and energy. And so when we lose money, in essence, we're losing our time, we're losing our energy that has been stored. And so in effect, we feel like we've lost life. But it really is not our lives. Our lives are much more valuable than, the money that we accumulate in life. And what I'm doing, so with loss, when we experience loss, everybody handles loss in a different way. And I'm not saying that I'm an expert. I'm definitely not an expert or a psychologist in by any stretch of the imagination, but I do have my own personal experience, and I just want to share it. The things that have helped me through my past ground zeros in life, and I'm optimistic that my next, life is made up of peaks and troughs, and I feel like the next peak is going to be higher than the previous peak. And that's kind of, the direction that everything has gone in my life. It's like, I lost 80 grand, but to lose 80 grand, I had to make 80 grand. I lost a quarter of a mil, and I had to make that to lose it. And I lost a couple mil, and I had to make it to lose it. And each time, I learned different lessons. So I think just a practical lesson, I'm never going to consolidate my wealth in one thing ever again. A lot of my friends who are multimillionaires, they're telling me from the beginning, like, diversify, John, diversify, do something different. And I never did. So it was my bad for not listening to that. The other thing that I think is really important is not to try to rebound too quickly. Loss is loss, no matter what it is, if it's money or if it's a relationship or if it's a spouse. And when we experience loss, the reflexive thing that we try to do is to grab onto it, grab onto what we lost quickly, because it's painful. Like, whatever we lose is painful. And so we think if we just replace what was lost, that the pain will go away. But that's not true in relationships. That's not true with a life. That's not true with money. And so instead of trying to, if somebody gets involved in a relationship right after they lose it, you know, we call that rebounding. And a lot of times that doesn't work out well. Normally it's because the reason why someone loses a relationship is because when it's a mutual relationship and there's a breakup or a divorce or something, there's actually underlying problems that lead to that. And if those problems aren't discovered and a relationship is jumped into another time too quickly, then those problems just resurface and then another loss is incurred. So I think it's really important to, instead of trying to reclaim what's lost right away, to evaluate what caused the loss in the first place. There's evaluation that needs to happen, healing that needs to happen. And then when a person is healthy, then that's the time to pursue, you know, the next thing. So that's kind of the approach that I'm taking. I'm not saying that that's the approach that's the right approach or that everyone should do that. Everybody has their own path. But in the times that I've done this in the past, that has been the most fruitful that I've seen, and I've grown each time. And in this time, I feel like I'm growing as well. So it's, pain is actually something I try to embrace. I hate pain, but it's actually really good. It's good for growth and becoming a better person. The other thing that I want to say, sorry.
I don't want to take up your time. Go ahead.
The last thing that I just want to say is, like, fitness is really, really important, and something that I've learned just from working with police officers and different ones that have experienced PTSD is that sleep is really, really important to mental healing and emotional healing. What happens in rapid eye movement when you sleep is it actually, there's scientific evidence that it separates emotional feelings from memory. So a lot of times, like a police officer or someone in EMS will see something really traumatic and they won't be able to sleep. And then they'll because they don't sleep, they can't separate emotion from memory. So every time they remember an accident scene or something traumatic, they actually experience all of the emotions all over again. And, you know, if we experience the emotions of loss every single time we remember loss, it would, you know, damage us in a really bad way. So the brain has figured out how to separate our emotions from our memory. And it happens through rapid eye movement, sleep. And so what happens with PTSD victims is they can't sleep, so they can't separate the memory, which keeps them from sleeping. And it's a vicious cycle, and it affects every part of their lives. And so, you know, this loss that we've all incurred together, it was traumatic. I don't know about you, but the different friends that I've talked to that have lost, you know, large amounts of money, they've had pretty bad dreams in the first couple of days. And I've had weird whack dreams in the first couple of days that this happened. And that's just because of what REM sleep does. If you're personally having bad dreams, it's because your body is separating the trauma from memory so that you'll be able to remember what has happened without reliving all the emotional stuff with it. So sleep is really, really important when you're coming back from a ground zero and just taking care of your mental and emotional health. And a lot of times what people do, in they do everything wrong. Like instead of sleeping, they will jump on Twitter and look for every single like way that they can get money or try to get their money back or try to, you know, I actually have not engaged in any of those governance proposals just because that's not what I need right now. What I need is to focus on my personal health and to get back to a place where I can think clearly, where my emotions are good, and then identify the next opportunity. So that's the way that I'm personally doing it. One of the things that is a vicious cycle is people go into like this, going on Twitter, getting all worked up, they can't sleep, and then they can't get into a healthy emotional or mental state, and then try to chase things down, and it just like is a vicious cycle. So to pull out of that cycle for myself, I'm trying to exercise to get tired, sleep to separate emotion from memory, And then when I feel like I'm in a good emotional state, when those bad dreams are not there anymore and I can sleep well, then to look for the next opportunity. So that's kind of the things that I'm doing in my foundations at my ground zero. And I wanted just to throw that out to the community. Hope it's valuable to you guys. Hutch, I was talking to him yesterday, and just really appreciate you know, this guy and how he's dealt with ground zeros in his life, both emotionally, spiritually, physically. Like, he's a pickleball maniac and has been dealing with his stress in good ways as well. So Hutch, you got the floor.
Well, I'm going to have to give it back because I'm dropping kids off in just a little bit. But I did, before we get into my story, because when I drop kids off, I'm just going to have to go in for a moment and you're going to have to hold the floor a little bit longer. But I just wanted to interject about the, before we get into my story in the past, just really be honest about the present. And, you know, just like what you were saying, as far as like being in balance, I was a pickleball maniac and I went from playing 5 and 6 times a week to playing 2 times a week. And I was eating really healthy beforehand. And because I was doing this, I call it crypto moonlighting, I wasn't eating as well, and I was doing more fast food and just eating stuff that's convenient, whether it be fast food or just grabbing boxes from Costco or whatever. And so I'd really gotten out of balance in a lot of ways. I've gained weight. My physical fitness wasn't quite as much. My spiritual fitness wasn't as good. My relationships, I mean, I'm driving Hutch Girls back from school. Hutch Girls, do you guys think I was out of balance for the last 6 or 7 months? Tell the truth.
Yeah.
Yeah. How about you? Yeah. You think so too?
Yeah.
And how come? Because it was like I worked during the day and then I was always what? On Twitter and.
Twitter, crypto.
Yeah.
Videos,
yeah. So, and, you know, here I felt a little justified, and I could rationalize what I was doing as actually helping them because, you know, hey girls, we gonna make it, and you know, if I get this one right, like, you know, I'll have tons of time, and like, how did that work out, right? And maybe if I would have had a better foundation of balance, nutrition, sleep, and everything, who knows, maybe I would have saw myself I was a little out of balance financially and made better decisions. I don't know, this is neither here nor there. But I just wanted to comment on that before we got into my full story.
Yeah, that's great. I think, and that's the healthy thing to do right now, is to evaluate what our foundations are, because when these kind of things happen, it reveals the foundations. Like some people that try to make money their foundation, they think that it will fix everything in their marriage. And a lot of times, like, and then when the money thing doesn't work out, then the marriage gets worse. But it was because the money wasn't supposed to fix the marriage anyway. Like, there's tons of people that are, that don't have millions of dollars, that have great marriages. You know, like my grandparents are definitely a part of that. And I know that it's super easy to think that money solves all problems, and it does solve a lot of problems, but it doesn't solve problems of the soul. And so I think for myself, I'm taking this opportunity to, like, you know, fix things that, and just make things better. I have pretty solid foundations. I feel like I have, like, really great friends that have good, healthy perspectives in a lot of ways, and I've leaned on them. My family, because I've deposited into them, and my time and my love, and prioritize them before, you know, money and different things, that now that we don't have money, they're fine with it. Like, they,
well,
it's nicer to have money.
I was going to say, like, my spouse, I kind of got permission to be out of balance to a degree, because I said, like, look, you know, I really got to pour into this, like, not only on the investor side, but I was starting to get involved on the builder side or with projects. And, you know, just saying, like, hey, look, I'm building a new skill set and industry, and it's going to be worth it. Let me do this. And obviously I look really, really foolish now. Like, yeah, that whole thing we were investing in, it's gone to zero. I've lost a lot of money. and remember that thing I was going to be part of the building thing, like all of them are broke and scrambling. And so, yeah, so I think it's, you know, thankfully I have a good enough marriage where I was able to kind of communicate and telegraph what my intentions are and what I was doing. But like looking back for it, and I think this is just a good lesson in life, you know, the more you get out of balance, you're really often setting yourself up for a fall. It's really unlikely you're going to come out of that ahead versus if you just stay in balance the whole time. Like there's that John Wooden basketball statement, like what is it? You don't have to go back to basics if you just never leave the basics. With that, just give me a few moments. I'll be back in like 3.5 minutes.
Okay, great. Well, while Hutch is dropping off his kids, I just want to share maybe like a couple other things that were really, I believe, transformational in my life and helping me to grow during this whole experience. And I've tweeted it out, you know, before even this all happened, that I lost a really close friend in as far as a drunk driving incident. He was running on the side of the road. He left his house, was running on the side of the road, and then never came home. And a drunk driver hit him. He died almost instantly. I've seen how it's affected his wife and his kids, and it's just been heartbreaking in so many ways to see how the loss of a life impacts the family. And, you know, this guy that passed away, he was, you know, top of his field. He was making tons of money. He had a great insurance plan, and there's no financial lack, but his life can never be replaced. And and at the same time, there's like different ones, other people that I know who have passed away from COVID unexpectedly, young in their prime, and I've just been involved with a lot different losses, you know, as many of you have in the past couple years. And one thing that I am taking away from all of this, and it just shook me because, you know, I lost, you know, millions of dollars, and I'm talking with this this person, and she said, yeah, I have a lot of money, but I would give my house, I would give you know, all the money in the bank, I would give everything just to spend 10 more minutes with, you know, this person that she loved. And it just hit me like a ton of bricks when she said that, because it showed me the difference between money and life. Like a lot of times we lose money and we associate money with life because it represents our time and our energy. But it's not life, and a lot of times we actually exchange money for life. You know, when she said that, it actually put a price tag on time with loved ones to me. She said that she would give everything up just to spend 10 more minutes with a person that was taken from her, and I started thinking about like how much time do I really treasure time with my family in the same way? Like I have my family with me, and so much of my time is spent, you know, pursuing things that you know, are great. Like money is awesome. But maybe I was a little out of balance. So just like the perspective of reevaluating the value, like money is valuable, and I'm not going to take anything away from that. I want to rebuild, and I'm going to rebuild, and I'm going to rebuild better. But I have a higher premium on life, on people that I love, and I'm looking at you know, how to have a healthy balance, like Hutch was saying earlier. Hutch, are you back? Hutch isn't back. You know, before Hutch comes back,
I'm back. Oh, go ahead.
I was gonna bring
feel free. Feel
Mandy's
free.
Up. But yeah, so Hutch, did you wanna continue with
Yeah, sure. I'm going to go through this little ruggy area right by my house for about like 20 seconds. So if you want to ask me a question, I can usually hear you. I just might be ruggy for 20 seconds.
Okay. Yeah, so I think that was like a major takeaway, just putting a higher premium on life, a higher premium on time spent with loved ones, really recognizing the imbalance of how much focus and energy I was putting into money that I know at some point, you know, I'm not going to be able to take that with me. As far as, you know, when I pass away, it will be, you know, how much I gave to my kids and my loved ones and stuff. So refocusing that, I'm not in a rush to rebuild. I want to rebuild healthy. I want to have a healthy mind, healthy emotions, healthy body. And when it's right, I'll know it's right. But one of the things, Hutch, just interrupt me anytime that you want, because
I'm ready. So you're on a roll, by all means, go for it. And if you want me to weigh in, that's cool. And if you want to, at some point talk about some of my different bottoms, I think I learned different lessons from each one. And I think some apply, like my bottom as a poker player. When I reemerge from, I call it urban camping, I don't necessarily call it homelessness, because I could have jumped off at any point and just said to my parents, like, okay, hey, I'm ready to come back. But I mean, I dropped out of college at age 19 to hitchhike and hop freight trains and go run around following the Grateful Dead and do other things, all kinds of crazy kind of camping trips with a bunch of Anons, kind of like we are in crypto. And it was hard to reenter. Ran some money up in poker and ran it straight back down and learned a lot of money management lessons. And like I talked about, you know, as a recovering alcoholic, I didn't have to lose all my money, but I was spiritually bankrupt and having a spiritual bottom. And they also, in the program of recovery, call it the gift of desperation. Like you actually have to hit a bottom in order to create a clearing, so to speak, to come from nothingness with transformation, if that makes sense. Like, if you don't bottom out spiritually and you only bottom out financially, and then oftentimes the level of transformation that you probably need won't be able to be accomplished, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, that does make sense. I'm going to just share a couple of learnings in the past week. And then Hutch, I'd like to jump into your story. You have a powerful story of hitting bottom in different areas and how you're, how that's developed strength in your life. And then also, how you plan to move forward and, you know, what the bottom has benefited you in the past times and what your hope is moving forward. So so why don't we get started? I just did a tweet on, you know, different foundations that, you know, September 11th was the time that the trade centers went down. It was the first time that the foundations were revealed. And one thing that I noticed about that was whenever there's tragedy, it reveals foundations. And foundations are the most important thing in our lives. And money is not a very good foundation to build our lives on, just because money can come and go very quickly, as we've seen in the past couple of weeks. The more that money is our foundation, the more we'll get rocked by it. And, you know, there's people that have lost everything, even their own lives, because of this. And it's one of those things that if our foundation is on money, that when money is gone, we'll feel like, you know, our life is gone as well. I think there's real tangible emotional attachments that we have to money because it represents our time and our energy, and our time and our energy really is our life. Like, our life is made up of time and energy, and so when we lose money, in essence, we're losing our time, we're losing our energy that has been stored, and so in effect we feel like we've lost life. But it really is not our lives. Our lives are much more valuable than, you know, the money that we accumulate in life. And what I'm doing, so with loss, when we experience loss, everybody handles loss in a different way. And I'm not saying that I'm an expert. I'm definitely not an expert or a psychologist in by any stretch of the imagination, but I do have my own personal experience and I just want to share it. The things that have helped me through my past ground zeros in life. And I'm optimistic that my next, life is made up of peaks and troughs. And I feel like the next peak is going to be higher than the previous peak. And that's kind of, you know, the direction that everything has gone in my life. It's like I lost 80 grand, but to lose 80 grand, I had to make 80 grand. I lost $250,000 and I had to make that to lose it. And I lost a couple mil and I had to make it to lose it. And each time, you know, I learned different lessons. So I think just a practical lesson, I'm never going to consolidate my wealth in one thing ever again. A lot of my friends who are multimillionaires, they're telling me from the beginning, like, diversify, John, diversify, do something different. And I never did. So it was my bad for not listening to that. The other thing that I think is really important is not to try to rebound too quickly. Loss is loss, no matter what it is, if it's money or if it's a relationship or if it's a spouse. And when we experience loss, the reflexive thing that we try to do is to grab onto it. Grab onto what we lost quickly because it's painful. Like whatever we lose is painful. And so we think if we just replace what was lost, that the pain will go away. But that's not true in relationships. That's not true with a life. That's not true with money. And so instead of trying to, if somebody gets involved in a relationship right after they lose it, we call that rebounding. And a lot of times that doesn't work out well. Normally it's because the reason why someone loses a relationship is because when it's a mutual relationship and there's a breakup or a divorce or something, there's actually underlying problems that lead to that. And if those problems aren't discovered and a relationship is jumped into another time too quickly, then those problems just resurface and then another loss is incurred. So I think it's really important to, instead of trying to reclaim what's lost right away, to evaluate what caused the loss in the first place. There's evaluation that needs to happen, healing that needs to happen. And then when a person is healthy, then that's the time to pursue, the next thing. So that's kind of the approach that I'm taking. I'm not saying that that's the approach that's the right approach or that everyone should do that. Everybody has their own path. But in the times that I've done this in the past, that has been the most fruitful that I've seen, and I've grown each time. And in this time, I feel like I'm growing as well. So it's pain is actually something I try to embrace. I hate pain, but it's actually really good. It's good for growth and becoming a better person. The other thing that I want to say, sorry.
Go ahead.
The last thing that I just want to say is like fitness is really, really important, and something that I've learned just from working with police officers and different ones that have experienced PTSD is that sleep is really, really important to mental healing and emotional healing. What happens in rapid eye movement when you sleep is it actually, there's scientific evidence that it separates emotional feelings from memory. So a lot of times like a police officer or someone in EMS will see something really traumatic and they won't be able to sleep. And then they'll because they don't sleep, they can't separate emotion from memory. So every time they remember an accident scene or something traumatic, they actually experience all of the emotions all over again. And, if we experience the emotions of loss every single time we remember loss, it would, damage us in a really bad way. So the brain has figured out how to separate our emotions from our memory. and it happens through rapid eye movement, sleep. And so what happens with PTSD victims is they can't sleep, so they can't separate the memory, which keeps them from sleeping, and it's a vicious cycle, and it affects every part of their lives. And so, you know, this loss that we've all incurred together, it was traumatic. I don't know about you, but the different friends that I've talked to that have lost, you know, large amounts of money, they've had pretty bad dreams in the first couple of days. And I've had weird whack dreams in the first couple of days that this happened. And that's just because of what REM sleep does. If you're personally having bad dreams, it's because your body is separating the trauma from memory so that you'll be able to remember what has happened without reliving all the emotional stuff with it. So sleep is really, really important when you're coming back from a ground zero and just taking care of your mental and emotional health. And a lot of times what people do, in they do everything wrong. Like instead of sleeping, they will jump on Twitter and look for every single like way that they can get money or try to get their money back or try to, you know, I actually have not engaged in any of those governance proposals just because that's not what I need right now. What I need is to focus on my personal health and to get back to a place where I can think clearly, where my emotions are good, and then identify the next opportunity. So that's the way that I'm personally doing it. One of the things that is a vicious cycle is people go into like this, going on Twitter, getting all worked up, they can't sleep, and then they can't get into a healthy emotional or mental state, and then try to chase things down, and it just like is a vicious cycle. So to pull out of that cycle for myself, I'm trying to exercise to get tired, sleep to separate emotion from memory. And then when I feel like I'm in a good emotional state, when those bad dreams are not there anymore and I can sleep well, then to look for the next opportunity. So that's kind of the things that I'm doing in my foundations at my ground zero. And I wanted just to throw that out to the community. Hope it's valuable to you guys. Hutch, I was talking to him yesterday, and just really appreciate you know, this guy and how he's dealt with ground zeros in his life, both emotionally, spiritually, physically. Like he's a pickleball maniac and has been dealing with his stress in good ways as well. So, you got the floor.
Well, I'm going to have to give it back because I'm dropping kids off in just a little bit. But I did, before we get into my story, because when I drop kids off, I'm just going to have to go in for a moment and you're going to have to hold the floor a little bit longer. But I just wanted to interject about the, before we get into my story in the past, just really be honest about the present. And, you know, just like what you were saying, as far as like being in balance, I was a pickleball maniac and I went from playing 5 and 6 times a week to playing 2 times a week. And I was eating really healthy beforehand. And because I was doing this, I call it crypto moonlighting, I wasn't eating as well, and I was doing more fast food and just eating stuff that's convenient, whether it be fast food or just grabbing boxes from Costco or whatever. And so I'd really gotten out of balance in a lot of ways. I've gained weight. My physical fitness wasn't quite as much. My spiritual fitness wasn't as good. My relationships, I mean, I'm driving Hutch Girls back from school. Hutch Girls, do you guys think I was out of balance for the last 6 or 7 months? Tell the truth.
Yeah.
Yeah. How about you? Yeah. You think so too?
Yeah.
And how come? Because it was like I worked during the day and then I was always what? On Twitter and.
Twitter, crypto.
Yeah.
Videos,
yeah. So, and, you know, here I felt a little justified, and I could rationalize what I was doing as actually helping them because, you know, hey girls, we gonna make it, and you know, if I get this one right, like, you know, I'll have tons of time, and like, how did that work out, right? And maybe if I would have had a better foundation of balance, nutrition, sleep, and everything, who knows, maybe I would have saw myself I was a little out of balance financially and made better decisions. I don't know, this is neither here nor there. But I just wanted to comment on that before we got into my full story.
Yeah, that's great. I think, and that's the healthy thing to do right now, is to evaluate what our foundations are, because when these kind of things happen, it reveals the foundations. Like some people that try to make money their foundation, they think that it will fix everything in their marriage. And a lot of times, like, and then when the money thing doesn't work out, then the marriage gets worse. But it was because the money wasn't supposed to fix the marriage anyway. Like, there's tons of people that don't have millions of dollars that have great marriages. You know, like my grandparents are definitely a part of that. And I know that it's super easy to think that money solves all problems, and it does solve a lot of problems, but it doesn't solve problems of the soul. And so I think for myself, I'm taking this opportunity to, like, you know, fix things that, and just make things better. I have pretty solid foundations. I feel like I have, like, really great friends that have good, healthy perspectives in a lot of ways, and I've leaned on them. My family, because I've deposited into them, and my time and my love, and prioritized them before, you know, money and different things, that now that we don't have money, they're fine with it. Like, they,
well,
it's nicer to have money.
I was going to say, like, my spouse, I kind of got permission to be out of balance to a degree, because I said, like, look, you know, I really got to pour into this, like, not only on the investor side, but I was starting to get involved on the builder side, or with projects, and, you know, just saying, like, hey, look, I'm building a new skill set and industry, and it's going to be worth it. Let me do this. And obviously I look really, really foolish now. Like, yeah, that whole thing we were investing in, it's gone to zero. I've lost a lot of money. And remember that thing, I was going to be part of the building thing, like, all of them are broke and scrambling. And so, yeah. So I think it's, you know, thankfully I have a good enough marriage where I was able to kind of communicate and telegraph what my intentions are and what I was doing. But, like, looking back for it, and I think this is just a good lesson in life, you know, the more you get out of balance, you're really often setting yourself up for a fall. It's really unlikely you're going to come out of that ahead, versus if you just stay in balance the whole time. Like, there's that John Wooden basketball statement, like, what is it? You don't have to go back to basics if you just never leave the basics. With that, just give me a few moments. I'll be back in, like, 3.5 minutes.
Okay, great. Well, while Hutch is dropping off his kids, I just want to share maybe, like, a couple other things that were really, I believe, transformational in my life and helping me to grow during this whole experience. And I've tweeted it out, you know, before even this all happened, that I lost a really close friend in as far as a drunk driving incident. He was running on the side of the road. He left his house, was running on the side of the road, and then never came home. And a drunk driver hit him. He died almost instantly. I've seen how it's affected his wife and his kids, and it's just been heartbreaking in so many ways to see how the loss of a life impacts a family. And, you know, this guy that passed away, he was, you know, top of his field. He was making tons of money. He had a great insurance plan, and there's no financial lack, but his life can never be replaced. And at the same time, there's, like, different ones, other people that I know who have passed away from COVID unexpectedly, young, in their prime, and I've just been involved with a lot different losses, you know, as many of you have in the past couple years. And one thing that I am taking away from all of this, and it just shook me, because, you know, I lost, you know, millions of dollars, and I'm talking with this person, and she said, yeah, I have a lot of money, but I would give my house, I would give you know, all the money in the bank, I would give everything just to spend 10 more minutes with you know, this person that she loved. And it just hit me like a ton of bricks when she said that, because it showed me the difference between money and life. Like, a lot of times we lose money and we associate money with life because it represents our time and our energy, but it's not life. And a lot of times we actually exchange money for life. You know, when she said that, it actually put a price tag on time with loved ones to me. She said that she would give everything up just to spend 10 more minutes with a person that was taken from her. And I started thinking about, like, how much time do I really treasure time with my family in the same way? Like, I have my family with me, and so much of my time is spent, you know, pursuing things that you know, are great. Like, money is awesome. But maybe I was a little out of balance. So just like the perspective of reevaluating the value, like, money is valuable, and I'm not going to take anything away from that. I want to rebuild, and I'm going to rebuild, and I'm going to rebuild better. But I have a higher premium on life, on people that I love, and I'm looking at, you know, how to have a healthy balance, like Hutch was saying earlier. Hutch, are you back? Hutch isn't back. You know, before Hutch comes back. Oh, here we. Let me bring.
I'm back. Oh, go ahead.
I was gonna bring.
Feel free.
Mandy's up. But yeah. So Hutch, did you want to continue with?
Yeah, sure. I'm going to go through this little ruggy area right by my house for about like 20 seconds. So if you want to ask me a question, I can usually hear you. I just might be ruggy for 20 seconds.
Okay. Yeah, so I think that was like a major takeaway, just putting a higher premium on life, a higher premium on time spent with loved ones, really recognizing the imbalance of how much focus and energy I was putting into money that I know at some point, you know, I'm not going to be able to take that with me. As far as, you know, when I pass away, it will be, you know, how much I gave to my kids and my loved ones and stuff. So refocusing that, I'm not in a rush to rebuild. I want to rebuild healthy. I want to have a healthy mind, healthy emotions, healthy body. And when it's right, I'll know it's right. But one of the things, Hutch, just interrupt me anytime that you want, because
no, I'm here. I'm here. I'm ready. So you're on a roll. By all means, go for it. And if you want me to weigh in, that's cool. And if you want to at some point talk about some of my different bottoms, I think I learned different lessons from each one. And I think some apply. Like my bottom as a poker player, when I reemerge from, I call it urban camping. I don't necessarily call it homelessness, because I could have jumped off at any point and just said to my parents, like, okay, hey, I'm ready to come back. But I mean, I dropped out of college at age 19 to hitchhike and hop freight trains and go run around following the Grateful Dead and do other things, all kinds of crazy kind of camping trips with a bunch of Anons, kind of like we are in crypto. And it was hard to reenter. Ran some money up in poker and ran it straight back down and learned a lot of money management lessons. And like I talked about, you know, as a recovering alcoholic, I didn't have to lose all my money, but I was spiritually bankrupt and was out of balance and focused on the wrong things. And that helped me kind of align things to get myself in a better place. And I, like I said, I feel like I was in peak kind of physical condition for somebody in their late 40s. And I feel like I was, you know, prior to being out of balance with crypto, in some of the best balanced physical, spiritual, whatever shape of my life. And maybe that's part of the reason I didn't lose everything. I lost a lot. But I didn't lose everything, maybe from some of those other lessons I had learned. So
just let's jump into some practical stuff. So practically, What were some ways that you, you know, from this last experience and what you've learned in previous bottoms, how do you take care of yourself physically?
Yeah, so for me personally, and this is going to be different for everybody, but I think it's important to know yourself. Like my wife, she likes running, and she could just say, I'm going to go for a run. Or she could say, I'm going to go to the gym for an hour. And it's just kind of like a time-based thing or a distance-based thing. If I do that, I'm going to be like, when can I get the fuck out of here? Right? I actually need some sort of game or competition. Like I'm just naturally a gamer, which has to do with kind of the way I think about money too. So when I found pickleball, it was great because there was so much in the way of strategy and everything else that I could be exercising way harder than I would voluntarily at a gym. But since there's a game and a competition and strategy tied to it, I'm so distracted from that I'm doing way harder exercise than I would if I just said, I'm going to go out for a run, because I would run, walk, whatever, quit early. And so I need that competition. Some people don't, but I think however you get it, however one gets it, not you, Shigio, but however one gets it, it's important that you hold your feet to the fire to go and do that right now. It has helped me tremendously. I was invited to a space on Sunday, a mashup with Cosmos and the Lunaterra community. It was an honor. And I told them, and I have to leave after the first half hour. I got invited to a game and I really need this just for my mental health. And they totally understood.
Yeah. And I think that's super important to prioritize it, you know, because a lot of times when you hit ground zero, you don't feel like doing anything. It's like much, much nicer to sit on the couch and just, you know, do nothing or eat a lot or whatever. And I think that's really important to find something that you love and then to make it a priority, a discipline to like go out and do it. And what you find is the endorphins that is released when you exercise, it actually makes you, it changes your mood. And that's scientific. You know, scientifically proven that exercise is a mood enhancer.
And, oh yeah, your brain is the best drug dealer there is. Let's make no mistake about it. Like your brain makes the good stuff, and yeah, how it's released, and you know, this is like God working in your life. How it's released is you have to actually do healthy things with your body in order to get the really good stuff.
Yeah, and then a lot of the like counterfeit stuff, like dopamine and like being on Twitter and seeing your account go up, like it's a good rush, but then it doesn't necessarily make you a healthier person. In fact, it takes away from your health.
So if you're, I have to slightly disagree with Hutch on the brain portion. I think I lean towards more on the heart rather than brain.
Explain that. That's an interesting perspective.
Yeah. So I don't know if you guys, you know, heard or saw any advertisement or about the heartfulness meditation, which I'm following.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah. So that based on the heart, like where the source is, right? And source is the Almighty. So always listen to your heart. Means I can pretty much tell 100% of the audience right now here, every single who are married, their wives must have told when Luna reached 119, said, okay, sell it off, make some profit. And nobody did that, including me. Because why? I listened to my brain. There was a heartbeat. I listened like, okay, it's time to sell something, get your capital out, which I didn't. I'm still same boat as others right now. But I didn't listen that first heartbeat, which told me to sell something and get the capital out. And I didn't do it. Now I'm at the point, 20 years of life saving got lost. Even the loved ones, my wife keep telling me, sell, get the capital out at 100, at 115, at 119. I never did that. Why? Because I don't want to lose the Luna, which was in my imaginary mind, it was targeted at $1,000+ per piece.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? And that's a greed.
Yeah.
Right. So that greed drove me to a conclusion. I don't have to sell this precious asset in order to, you know, get rid of it at very cheap price or whatever you can call it. Right. Mm-hmm. And that exactly happened. The greed took over. I never listened to the heart. And now I'm in the situation.
I love it.
If I would have listened to my first heartbeat, said sell and cover your capital at least, that would have been great. It's not a big loss. It's at least you are just now playing with the profit. Mm-hmm. But I never done that. And that's so a learning for me.
I'm not going to disagree with you, because I think what you're saying is truth here. I think we might be saying some of the same thing. I know for me personally, when I clear my mind with exercise, like if I schedule a pickleball game right after I drop my kids off for school, even if it's short, or like sometimes I've scheduled like a quick drill session, I have a clearer mind and I get those bursts of intuition, God shots, whatever you want to call it. I receive them louder and clearer throughout the day. If I'm doing the distractive things that Shigio was talking about, and which I can do, where the quick sugar high dopamine hits of checking Twitter or whatever, I find myself kind of really unfocused and fragmented throughout the day. And so I feel like exercise, it really grounds me and makes me more in tune with my whole being. And I'm not enough of a scientist to know head, heart, whatever, but I look at my whole being as part. I have these physical organs and they're all either in tune or they're not. And what I've noticed is the exercise tends to ground me more in just how I receive all those messages.
Yeah. So all those intuitions, what you are getting, the signs, they are coming from the heart, but they are transcribed differently. So you think maybe by doing X, you are getting something and you are comfortable with it at the end of it, but that's a heart telling you do this and you feel good, right? So every time when you exercise next, just take an example, experience it by yourself. I mean, no one's gonna prove that to you. It's only you who's gonna experience that. And I made so many experiences myself. So, and heart is always right. It means, you know, at the time when you have to make a decision, if your heart says, and if you just think logically, then your brain comes in the picture. When brain comes in, that's an ego.
One thing that I'd like to add to that, and I think it's good to hear different perspectives and different beliefs. And I think for those of you that are here, and you know, you might come from a Christian background or a Hindu background or whatever belief it is that you subscribe to. I think it's really important to give freedom for everyone to believe, you know, where they're at. I think if you give freedom to everyone to just share, you know, what's going on in their lives, that it allows for a discussion where it's very productive for everyone. You know, like what you're talking about with the heart and your wife and whatnot, I'll just share one quick thing. Like I kind of look at my wife as my heart. She's more like the feeler. I'm more the brain, the thinker, and the way that I kind of a good illustration of that is when our stove is off, because we have an electric stove, and the stove is off, you can't see the heat. So the brain, you know, thinks that, oh, it's okay to touch it. But then when the hand goes over it, the hand actually feels the heat and says, no, this is not safe. And I remember one specific example, and this kind of illustrates your point, is we were going to repaint our house. I wanted to go to Home Depot to repaint it. And as we were going to Home Depot, my wife said, I think we should go to Habitat for Humanity. And I was like, I don't want to go to Habitat. They have all mismatching paints. Like, I want our house to have like a consistent color, and all this different kind of stuff was, you know, going through my head. And she said, okay, fine, don't listen to me. And I thought, okay, I just need to listen to my heart. I need to listen to my wife. And so I said, okay, let's go. So we went, and right when we pulled up, there was this whole pallet of paint that Home Depot just dropped off. Because I guess it was like past the expiration or whatever that they hold it. And it was literally like cents on the dollar. And so we picked up all the paint, but it had to be tinted. And so we took the whole paint to Home Depot, and I asked the lady, can you tint this paint, you know, to this color? And she said, we don't tint paint unless it comes from our store, but because we just sent it over to Habitat, is that the paint that we sent to Habitat? And I'm like, yeah, this is the paint. She goes, I'll make an exception and we'll tint it. So we ended up getting all of this paint for cents on the dollar, and it's because I listened to my heart. So it's I think that's really important too in a lot of financial decisions, like to get consensus with your spouse, because it might not make sense in our minds, but if we work in partnership with our spouses, like they feel something that might not make sense to us. So, and I think that was maybe one of my mistakes, is like, I was so like, Luna's going to go up because of this and this and this, that, you know, and she told me several times, like, why don't you just take profit here? Like, why don't you take this much out? And I was like, no, it's, you know, and I tried to tell her all the logical ways of, or reasons why I shouldn't. And she was like, okay, you know, like, but I should have given her more ear to what you're saying.
When I showed my portfolio, every time it increased, and she said, no, that's all virtual. I don't believe. I need it in my hands. I said, okay, I'm not going to put that in your hand. And that's the reality she believes in, right? But I never listened to that. Like, okay, by putting in hand doesn't mean that really you need that, but something liquid, right? That's what she believes. And said, okay, get some liquid out. And she kept telling me, I never listened.
Yeah.
And we are here.
Yeah. And I think two people, like when they work together with separate giftings, that it's such a powerful thing. And to me, like, it's powerful when someone can work alone. It's even more powerful when someone can work together with someone else, like their spouse or a friend or a group like this. And one of the things, like, I took my wife to Bali for our 20th anniversary, and there was, like, you know, this mountain, it's called Mount Batur, and we were walking up the mountain, and we got there a little late. Like, you're supposed to get there at like 4:30 in the morning to have enough time to get to the top to see the sunrise. And you know, we're a little bit older, we're in our 40s and whatnot. And so it was kind of hard for us to get up this mountain. And you know, the whole group went in front of us, and I felt like, I want to go faster. And so, like, I started hiking, you know, in front of her and trying to, like, get her to come with me and come go faster. And and then this thought came into my head, like, you can go faster alone, but you'll go longer together. And so that kind of changed my perspective of, like, you know, a lot of times we can do things alone and we can do it better and faster, but we really go longer with the people that we love. And so the priority can't just be like to get back, you know, as fast as we can, but to make sure everything's healthy as we're getting back. So, you know, we can go faster alone, we go longer together. And it was awesome, because instead of, like, trying to get up to see the sunrise at the correct time, I just stayed at the pace that she was comfortable with and enjoyed the hike with her. And then we actually got up just in time as the sun, you know, was breaking above the horizon, and it was a beautiful sunrise, and, you know, we enjoyed it. And I kind of look at life that way. Like, you know, sometimes people will get tired, I'll get tired. We're not going to hit the goals that we want at the right time, but it's really not about grabbing everything when we can get it, the fastest we can get it. It's about, you know, enjoying the journey with other people. And sometimes it's not going to be as fast as we want, but if we learn to enjoy the people that are on the journey with us, then it doesn't matter how long it takes for us to get to, you know, that amount.
So personally, I'm just sharing my experience. Like, my family and my friends, I mean, whoever I interacted and, you know, discussed crypto and all, they saw a change in me for last 4 to 6 months, or maybe 8 months, since Luna kept rising, right? They just, you know, kind of share that idea or observation or whatever you call. They see the change. They saw the change in my behavior or personality, whatever you call, right? And I wasn't agreed. I said, no, I'm the same. But you can make out when the person, you know, talk or discuss anything. And as Hutch mentioned, right, I was busy like 4-6 hours a day in Twitter Spaces, which you were not doing before. You weren't focusing on family and kids and all, and you are just into this. So they saw the change, but I wasn't accepting that change, even if I was changed. And that's something I think we all need to take care of it, right? Because as you see the money coming in, or even your portfolio becoming bigger and, you know, stronger, you are losing that touch of being a normal human being at that time. There is some kind of sense you develop, which you don't see, but the others can see in you.
Yeah.
So that's humility that we are losing. And so just to give you an example, like I was following a Twitter person here who kept bragging about how big fat bag of Luna he has. And I said, you know, you are bothering me too much that I should unfollow you. And then he blocked me. Okay. And I don't mind. So I said, okay, never mind. I think you are less distraction for me rather than I unfollowed you. You blocked me. That's good. But now I'm feeling for that person how big he will be in the loss as of now because of the bag he was having, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I can name that person. It's a Sumo Luna, nobody else. but I'm feeling right now like how much hard it will be for him, you know, at this time, like everybody lost quite a big thing, right, in their lifetime. Maybe he has whatever he has done to get that capital or whatever investment he has done. Now he might be at the deeper level than all of us.
Well, right? I don't think it's constructive to point out people.
Not constructive. I'm just giving an example. Like of losing humility, right? Using, you know, losing that basic human nature, like care for others and help others, or, you know, explain, yeah, or, you know, better.
On the flip side, I want to give the flip side, though. I think I've seen Sumo Luna give more than I've seen anyone else give as well. Like, he, you know, makes different contests and gives different things away. And I'm not discounting your, you know, what everyone's free to make their own judgment and whatnot. But,
It was not negative anyway.
Yeah.
I knew once I stopped seeing the tweet, so I don't know what else he was doing. But for me, it was like kind of, you know, not personally, it wasn't inspirational when as a, you know, you think like, okay, you have X number and the other person has Y number. Then you compare and then you say, how I'm going to do this, how I'm going to achieve that goal or something,
right,
which is, you know, I mean, never compare yourself with others. Maybe look down and you see, oh, other people are there who doesn't have the things what they have, what you have.
Yeah.
Like, you have food, shelter and all that, family, but the others might not. Yeah.
I think too, though, like for myself, and this is just the way that I try to approach life is, I cannot control, like, because I flash numbers and stuff too, like that. And the reason why I do that, and the reason why I've done that in the past, and for me, the reason why I started pursuing, you know, trying to make more is because I saw people flash numbers on YouTube and whatnot. I never thought it was possible until I saw people, you know, kind of flex their numbers. And when I saw that, and I saw that, you know, it was possible to do it through YouTube and to do it through Amazon and all these different ways of generating income that's scalable, it changed my life for the better. And then, you know, I could make it, if I were to envy those people or to compare myself to those people, it would have made my life worse. So whenever I see something that's external, like, I cannot control what another person does. I can't control whether someone flexes or not, or if they, you know, do something. And if it negatively affects me, I can't make them change, like, but I can change the perception of how it affects me. So that puts me in control of my destiny and where I'm headed, where I'm going, how it affects me. And I've just learned kind of a discipline in my life to look inside for the problem. And I practice that in my marriage. I practice that, you know, as many places that I can. When someone just ticks me off or something sits wrong, I think, okay, what am I, how can I change? How can I make this a stepping stone in my own life. And it served me well. You know, it served me very good in my life. And I'm going to continue to have that perspective, to control the things that I can control, to let people live the way that they want to live, and to constantly try to grow and learn lessons from others.
Hey, can I quote Jack Sparrow here? Jack yes. Sparrow, the
this is your interview, actually, Hutch.
So. I don't know if I concur, but that's okay. This could be our interview, in the wise words of Mr. Ham from Fast Times. Isn't this our time, Mr. Ham? Yeah, it's our time. But so at any rate, there's a great little kind of meme by Jack Sparrow, the pirate from Pirates of the Caribbean, and it says, "The problem is not the problem. The problem is your attitude about the problem." And you're so right about the control or the lack thereof. In fact, the Serenity Prayer is a actually great litmus test to live by. Like, I don't get wrapped up in politics mainly because of the Serenity Prayer, just because it's a test. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. So, like, it's really, really easy for me to give, like, little to no energy to politics whatsoever. And I see people, like, clients, friends, loved ones, like devoting tons of energy to this thing, arguing with people who none of you have any control over it. And if like a fraction of that energy was re-diverted to something where you can influence, even if it's just your own health and well-being, like, you'd be much better off. But the same litmus test could be applied to this Luna aftermath. Like it's gone. Like, you know, I understand there's forks, there's burns, all this stuff. And I'm in the same boat as you, Shiggy. Like, I haven't spent enough time, because I've been dealing with the things I can control today. I do feel somewhat of an obligation to maybe jump on tomorrow at Sefi Space and just ask Sefi, like, can you sum it all up for me? Can you give me the pros and cons of each so I can weigh in? At this point, I can't, because I've been dealing
with
things.
Yeah, and then I'll call you and you can give me the download.
There you go. But I've been focusing my energy post-mortem on the different things I can affect and control. And that's why when you asked me if I would do this, I said yes, but can we do it at 3? Because I knew my workday was ended, and, you know, I have clients, I have employees, I have a family who are all disappointed that I haven't spent enough time on my actual career, my day job, if you will, because I was busy moonlighting and breaking into this, you know, whether it be a second career as a builder or investor or whatever. And, like, all of that is pushed off to the past. So just, you know, focusing on your attitude about things, in the wise words of Jack Sparrow, is very, very important, right? Because that controls everything, including Mandiv's statement, like, hey, you know, I think it's wrong. It's not the head. It's not the heart. Guess what? Everybody's got their own story and interpretation of things. If you have one that's empowering to you and it works for you, who am I to tell you that's right or wrong? If it's working for you, do that. Right.
Yeah, right.
Find that story, that interpretation about your life, about the things that have happened, that empowers you to go forward, and do more of that. Now, if the interpretation that you're choosing is disempowering and it's causing you to just, you know, sit in fetal position on the couch watching mindless TV or scrolling through Twitter waiting for, you know, some kind of savior answer, then you probably need to come up with a new interpretation of what all this means. And I
wasn't saying right or wrong, Hutch. It was just like, experience is the main thing, right? Whatever you believe, just go with it, nothing else. That's the, like, the gist of the story that was I was trying to put. And for me, it is always the heart. So
yeah,
and I think that probably resonates with a lot of people. And so if it does, by all means, listen to your heart.
Yeah, I think that's a great, I think both of everyone's saying the same thing. It's just the way, the linguistics of it, perceptions of it, but there are things that don't make sense that we feel, And sometimes the things that we feel are more right than the things that we think. Yeah. And that God, you know, speaks to us in different ways, whether it's, you know, a still small voice, our conscience, our spouse. And we have to be humble enough to listen to those things. And I think that's a really important thing, is that I've seen the impact that money has on pride. And the more money that someone has, the more prideful they get, the less willing they are to listen to others. And I think people that love us, you know, like I told so many people that I care about Luna because I care about them, but I was getting them into something that would be, you know, very harmful for their finance. And, you know, I feel terrible about that. I would always preface it by, you know, you have to don't put money in that you can't afford to lose and whatnot. But I think that people that love us, or people that we love, we can give wrong information to, and people that hate us can give us right information. I think there's like people on Twitter that hate the Luna community and was actually speaking what was right, you know, talking about death spirals and things like that. And because we knew that they hated us, we didn't want to listen to them. And what I find in all of this is that that lies can come from people that love us. Truth can come from people that hate us, and we have to understand that truth stands on its own. It doesn't take sides, and to be humble enough to, you know, discern it. It's like these things are life lessons that that if we learn them well, it will serve us immeasurably in the future. So I'm learning, trying to learn all the lessons that I can. I want to encourage people that money doesn't make you, like you make it. And the more confidence that you have in your ability to spot opportunity and your power to generate money, the less urgent you're going to feel to have to get it back right away. And the more time you'll allow yourself to heal, to get to a healthy place that will actually put the odds in your favor to do it again. So there's a confidence aspect there, that when you're confident in your own ability to do something, you don't have to do it right away. You can do it at a time of your choosing. And I think what Hutch said is really important, that you have to pick your battles, especially when you have a limited amount of energy. You need to put your energy into something that you can control. I shouldn't say you, I should say that's what I'm doing. Do what you want. It's hard for me not to say you, but
you know, it's kind of a double-edged sword too, because you can, if you're expending energy on something you're passionate about, whether it's crypto, whether it's pickleball, when you're living in your passion, you actually get, like, you tap into extra energy reserves you didn't even know you had, versus if you're just grinding a 9-to-5, which, you know, a lot of people have to do. And even though I have my own business, you know, again, going back to story and perception, you know, I was kind of putting it in that category, which I probably didn't need to do. Again, that's a disempowering story. And if I change my attitude about that, I've actually found newfound inspiration and energy in my TradFi job. But and that's why I think the story and the perception is so important. But if you can reframe what it means to you when you're doing it, and you can tap into something that you find meaningful, whatever that is, be it exercise, be it spending time with family with this renewed outlook, and also with yours, it's interesting that you had a friend killed by a drunk driver. Saturday before the crash, I actually went to a funeral of a friend that I've known since the second grade that drank himself to death. True story. Like, guys, his late 40s and fucking drank himself to death. Not literally, but he drank so much that his liver pumped so much blood. And I forget the exact thing, but he had an aortal hemorrhage because like basically his liver couldn't process stuff. And so it kind of flushed out too much blood and essentially strangled internally from just being an alcoholic and drinking too much. And it was incredibly sad. But it put things in perspective. So like, here's a guy that I've known since the second grade, and you know, he's no longer with us. And it put, you know, it put a ton into perspective. And granted, I was riding high Saturday day and think, or maybe it was Friday. I think it was Friday. It wasn't Saturday, but I mean, riding high thinking whatever, I was a Luna Air, whatever you want to call it. And, you know, little did I know that the following Friday that, you know, everything I put into Luna, I would have lost everything. But the perception is everything. Like, my life didn't change that much. My actual life didn't change. The scoreboard changed in terms of wealth. But like, what exactly is that, right? Like, and I've talked to clients about that. Like, especially like, I have clients that have a lot of money and sometimes they can live like misers or whatever. Like, they're just really reluctant to spend on themselves. And I think, what do these ink dots on the page mean to you? Like, are you trying to rack up the high score? It's like back when I was a kid with Asteroids, you want to put your three initials up there and be the, like, what is this? What's the utility of this money at this point? You know, maybe do some more, like whatever that means. But we all have this kind of had this scoreboard, and the scoreboard changed drastically, but it's what we're making it mean that ultimately will determine your destiny. Like, and you get to choose that. So you can choose like defeat, demise, depression, and wallow in that. And that's going to suck. Or you can choose to take the tack of, okay, well, the scoreboard changed a lot and I learned some lessons, but I'm still alive. I still have my wits. I still have my strength. I still have my family. I still have my friends, whatever that looks like for everybody individually. And for young people, like, I'm in my late 40s. For those of you that are young, I was actually talking to Casa Intern. I see Joseph up there. I said, you know, we were making a series called Road to 1,000 Luna, and his saying, which I love, was zero or Valhalla. Like, he didn't care. He was going to Valhalla or zero. We didn't think when we were making the series that zero would even be in play, much less by the next week. But the one thing I told him when I connected with him afterwards is, you know, you're a young guy. The one thing that you have that I don't, like, I didn't lose everything, but you have one thing that I don't have, and you have all this extra time for financial compounding, not to mention just good decision compounding in your life to work in your favor. Mm-hmm. So if you didn't get physically harmed and you're not causing physical harm to yourself in any way, shape, or form, and that just includes making good, just good, healthy, physical, spiritual, mental decisions in this time of healing, you can ride that wave of compounding going forward. And I think you do that by just framing, because ultimately you get to choose what that means.
Yeah. I think, I read something that was really valuable on someone's tweet. I haven't saved it. I'll probably retweet it. I gotta go and find it. But he was talking about how when you're comfortable, you don't want any type of change, and then when you're in pain, you want to change everything. And you know, you brought up like the scoreboard and different things like that, and what does it all mean? And for me, I think one of the main reasons why I'm not in a rush to get everything back right away is number one, and I talked about it earlier in the podcast, my priorities have shifted a little in valuing life and loved ones more. You know, with what that lady said about being willing to spend millions of dollars just to have 10 more minutes with her deceased spouse. It put like a dollar amount, like a premium on time spent with loved ones for me. And so I'm readjusting my thinking and the value of human life, like the value of people that I love and time spent with them. Like, if somebody is willing to part with that much money for 10 minutes more with someone she loves, like, my priorities are misplaced if, you know, I can spend time with people that I love, but I rather sit in front of a computer and stare at numbers going up and down. That's not a good use of time. I mean, I'm not saying that that's, but you know what I mean. So I'm recalibrating that. The other thing is, I never thought Luna would go to zero. And I never thought Luna would go to zero as fast as it did. And when I look back on, you know, what I did with when I did have, you know, millions of dollars, the thing that I'm the most proud of is how I was able to be generous with it and to, you know, buy people that I love cool things and give my church money and all kinds of stuff like that. And if I could do it all over again, and I knew Luna was going to go to zero, I would have given way, way more and been way more generous with what I had instead of, you know, having the game plan of it going up and then being generous then. But the reflection that I have is my life is going to go to zero. I know that for a fact, that one day I'm going to leave this earth. But this life is not the end. Like, life doesn't end at death. There's an eternity after that. And the thing that I take with me is my character. And so times like this, when it's really painful for me, it's showing me cracks in my character. It's showing me cracks in who I am. It's showing misplaced priorities. It's showing, you know, good and bad things about who I am. And I embrace that pain, and I want to change myself in areas that I'm very uncomfortable and be a better person myself, because that's what I'm going to take with me when I die. And the way that I influence others is going to, you know, be a part of that when I die.
There you go. I need to drop here, but I just want to say one thing, like, strive for more and more of less and less. Okay. Mm. This is a very big sentence. If you just think over it, more and more of less and less. That's what we are here for on this earth. So thank you. Thank you for your time. I'm going to drop, make some other one speaker, but maybe talk some other time.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you for jumping in. Appreciate it.
Yep. Thanks for that message too. I think that got a little bit easier for a lot of us Luna people this week, at least.
Yeah.
I appreciate it, Hutch and Shigo both. Thank you. Have a good evening, guys.
I just wanted to give one more opportunity for Hutch to, you know, there's been talk and tweets of people who have ended their lives because they lost money, and ending your life is never the solution. Like, I've heard it said over and over again, a temporary problem is never, there's never a permanent solution to a temporary problem when you are attempting to end your life. Like, that's never the solution. And I know, Hutch, you have some pretty strong opinions on that and perspective on that. Would you be willing to share just your personal?
Yeah, sure.
We could end with that. Like,
yeah, seems fitting. So I mean, this is a really serious topic, and I always get a little bit triggered by it, just mainly because my father took his own life some 24, 25 years ago. And it's one of those things. I shared this on a space, whatever, last Wednesday, because I think I shared it before, but somebody admitted that they were thinking about it. Somebody who I like personally interacted with on Twitter, and I got really quickly triggered. And I was triggered because I remember seeing a tweet by you either that night or the day before that you had heard a story that somebody took their own life. And that just fucking killed me, for lack of a better word. Like, it just really hurt my heart and really crushed my soul, because as a survivor of suicide, it's one of those things that you never get fully made whole of. Like, and like, I can feel like the whatever, just like the tingling in my cheeks and, you know, like goosebumps coming out right now, just because of all the emotion that comes with that. Like, when somebody that you're close to and you love deliberately and purposely takes their own life, there's this emptiness that just follows you around for a long time. And so what I told the gentleman, that, you know, and rightfully so, like, he was totally entitled to his beliefs. And like, most people have thought about it at one point in their life or another. I think to have not thought about that almost makes you less human, right? But mm-hmm. In the state of really thick emotion, you're not able to fully play that tape out. And so from the other side, what I can tell you as a survivor is there's all kinds of crazy emotions that you put people through. And the reason why this gentleman was thinking about it is because he, like all of us, you know, shared our enthusiasm and excitement about Luna and our conviction and our beliefs, which, by the way, I still think we were on the right track, which is why it was targeted so heavily by such a swift attack. Yeah. Regardless of the tail risk. The tail risk was there, and in our, whether it was complacency, our greed, our rah-rahness, you know, our echo chamber tribalism, for whatever reason, we did not give it enough credence. And that was a mistake that obviously all of us will regret to some degree. But to the point where this gentleman was saying, I recommended it to all my friends and family, and now I'm afraid to face them. So I went and visited a doctor, and told him I was thinking about taking my own life, which is totally valid. And I helped him think through that. And I said, the reason you're thinking about taking your own life is because you're ashamed. And furthermore, you care very deeply about these people, which is why you shared with to the level of detail and the level of enthusiasm that you did what you shared. And through no control of your own, things, the worst case scenario did in fact happen. And so now, in your very irrational and emotional thinking, you're going to make amends to that, or you're going to, in your mind, make the situation right by removing yourself from this earth. And what I can tell you is, and I'm saying it a lot clearer than I was in that moment, because I was very emotional on Wednesday. What I can tell you as a survivor is you are going to saddle them with this whole extra layer of sadness, guilt, confusion, despair that you just have no fucking idea about unless you experience it. And so what I would say is if anybody's thinking about this in this low moment, in this low point in your life, stop it. Just fucking knock it off right now, because whatever good you think it's going to do, I can tell you, not only is it going to, it's going to do the exact opposite. You are going to, like, you think you're helping people, or you think that that's a weird way to make amends, but really the opposite is going to happen. You are going to leave them. You feel bad that they lost money, and now you're going to make them feel worse by killing yourself because you recommended they lost, and you recommended that they do something that they lost money. And I've since seen him posting on Twitter, and it seems like, you know, he went through the grieving process and is pulling himself out of that. But it's just such a serious subject, and I've never experienced anything else emotionally that has left me so empty. Like, it's one thing when you're able to make an amends for such a situation, or you have an estranged relationship or whatever, like there's all kinds of things that can happen that maybe leave you feeling bad, but nothing as so empty as when somebody just removes themselves from this earth and you never know the full reason, or you feel guilt about it, or whatever. It's just this darkness, emptiness, this pit in your stomach that never fully goes away. That was a lot, but that's how I feel about it.
No, and I thank you for sharing, Hutch. And I think that if that just helps one person that's listening now, or, you know, listens to the recording of this, you know, not take that step, that, you know, you saved a life. And I'm grateful that you're vulnerable enough and transparent to share that with this community. And it shows that you care, that you're a good person. And I appreciate that. Thanks, Hutch. Thank you so much for having me.
For sharing.
Yeah. I'd like to just close this space. I know everyone has their own, you know, personal beliefs and whatnot. But if it's okay with everyone, I just like to say a prayer for everyone here and kind of close this space out. So is that okay, Hutch? Is that okay if I pray?
Absolutely. Yeah. No. Right. Yeah. I know we were going to talk about spirituality, but I think it's incredibly important to have a connection with your maker, your higher power, whatever you want to call it. Some people call it God. Some people get incredibly offended by the word God. I've learned that from recovery programs. But I'm okay with the word God, and I understand I'm respectful of the fact that people aren't. And if you aren't, even if you whatever aren't sure, or you call it the great spirit of the universe or whatever you want to call it, it sometimes just makes sense to just go ahead and declare your intentions verbally, even if just to yourself. And you'd be amazed that if you do so, how often the universe or God or whatever you want to call it cooperates with you.
Awesome. Yeah. So if it offends you, you can turn off right now. If it doesn't, I'm just going to share a prayer for all of us, because I think it's a good time for it. Let's pray. God, I just thank you for this amazing community and so many good people in this community that had so many good intentions for their friends and their families. And you see the pain, the hurt, the loss that so many people are going through, and God, I know that you care for each one. You love each one. That no matter what belief people have, that you are for them. And I just pray that you'd give hope, that you'd give peace, that you would give a certainty of your love to each one that is experiencing just a tremendous amount of pain and loss right now, and we know that it can be for the good if we respond in the right way. And God, I pray that you just direct and guide each person into the destiny, the providence that you have for them, and help them to see the purpose that you've created them for. We ask this in your son's name. Amen.
Amen. Hey, you know, and one thing that occurred to me is, you know, this too shall pass, and this is temporary. And what maybe some people that are not from the Luna community don't know, but you're like a really freaking savvy trader, in spite of, you know, making a very high concentrated leverage bet on Luna that is causing you to step away from the game for a little bit. And I know you're just not mentally ready to do this, but at some point you're probably going to be helping people by sharing, you know, tips, strategies, tactics, like you did before, which I'm super thankful and value very, very much, including our friendship, which I feel like is growing because of this. But what I was going to say is, let's be sure when we get back on the horse to have some check-in calls and do this on the way up too.
Yeah, no guarantee. And you know that the dynamic delta strategy that I was doing before this all happened, it really saved me. Like, I didn't get liquidated. I actually was like paid off my entire loan before this all came down because of that sheet. And that sheet is actually applicable to anything that you trade. You can trade it on KuCoin, any kind of leverage, you can apply it to anything. So it's going to be a matter of time, but a time of my own choosing. I love it too much to quit. I just love it. You know, it's
and
a
you're good at mine. It.
Yeah, it's a passion of mine that I've had since I was, you know, like 20 years ago. And for whatever reason, I'm decent at it, and I have no doubt that whatever was lost, like in time, I'll get it back. So
you're a beat. I think where you're at in your life and why you wanted to do this today is because you want to take a moment to recalibrate, rebalance, lick your wounds, take some time to heal, take some time to take stock, take inventory of kind of, you know, where you were at mentally, spiritually, everything else. And so that you can get back on the horse and come back, stronger than ever before. With that foundation that you were talking about, right? You're at 9/11 right now, and this is where you need to focus, but pretty soon you're going to be back at it. So I was just thinking, like, we, you know, everybody loves the tactical stuff, and we got to make sure we mix this in the future, you know?
Yeah. Well, one tactical thing, like, that's very practical is I'm taking the way that I'm looking at everything right now is because I was 100% in crypto and getting my income from crypto, I have to like radically adjust my my lifestyle. So I'm looking at like last night I sat down, wrote down income, expenses, assets, liabilities, wrote down every resource that I have. I think it's really important to take inventory of all the resources, all the income sources, all the skill sets, everything that you have that's an asset and can generate income, both off-chain and off-chain, off-chain and on-chain, and then look at expenses and decrease expenses, increase income so that there's margin to invest. And so for me, the easiest thing for me to do is just to get a job right now, to build up capital, to cut expenses, to look for positive feedback loop systems like I do Turo and other things that I might buy another vehicle to generate, you know, another $1,500 a month or $3,000 a month. I'm not sure. I don't want to get too concentrated. I'm kind of like gun shy about getting concentrated in any one area again. Sure. So, but I'm going to, you know, explore different opportunities and I'm not like right. The thing about once you accumulate a certain amount of capital is you can deploy it into different things. And when you lose all of your capital, you have to gain it back slowly. Or for me anyway, I have to gain it back slowly. I'm not going to go, you know, take money and put it in a place where I could lose it again. I need to focus on cash flow, positive cash flow. And then once the positive cash flow is there, then, you know, I start focusing on slowly growing it through investments, risk management, and then finally scaling. So, you know, I'm back to ground zero. Yeah, I'm back to ground zero. And that's the way I'm going to rebuild step by step. But that's my plan. And I'll inform the community of like, you know, how I'm rebuilding everything and what I'll be doing. I might do some paid stuff like with this community if they are interested in it. I'm not sure. But I right now I'm just focused on me, like just my inside, my character, like the things that I need to work on. And
I was just going to say, I've always loved your pinned tweets, and it wouldn't surprise me if you amended some of those. Like, there's a lot of information that's totally valid in there, but if you amended and kind of expanded some of those, even if you end up going on to do some paid stuff, I know that's been just an incredibly super valuable resource. And when I first saw your tweets and I asked you a question, you asked me to go read your pinned tweets. I was one of the few that actually did and read the whole thing, and I was just got hooked. I was like, holy crap, what is this? Who is this guy? Which was amazing. just real quick on the balance sheet thing.
Yeah.
Just to bring it back to the self-exploration. One of the processes in recovery is to do an inventory of yourself, and whether you're in that process or not, my guess is a lot of people are being really, really hard on themselves right now. And I certainly was last week, and it caused me, I had to get bumped. I had to get bumped from that. But what I was going to say is, even in the process of recovery from addiction, you're supposed to list an inventory, and the focus is primarily negative, to list the negative things or the liabilities that cause us to, you know, gravitate to addiction. That's a process that's part of the process of recovery. And what certain individuals have done is they know that that's going to cause a severe lack of self-esteem, and it's going to be really hard on people. And so they really advocate that before you do that, you list out the assets. So I'm sure it is really, really easy if I ask any of you guys right now to say, list all the negative things you did and tell me what you learned and lessons learned and negativity. And if you just focus on that, this process of healing might be harder. So what I would offer to you guys, just something borrowed from recovery, is it's okay to do that. But you start with the left side of the balance sheet, with any balance sheet. If you go look at any major corporation, a small business, whatever, on the left is assets, on the right is liabilities. And you start from the left. List all your assets. And my guess is, even if your financial assets are decimated at this moment, there's a lot of really strong assets that got you, and I'm saying character assets, moral assets, relationships, skill sets. All of these things are assets. Like I was talking about this with Tara, like even though Tara is insolvent, which means financially broke, there's all kinds of smart contracts. There's all kind. There's relationships. There's people. There's builders. There's the community. All of these are assets. There's goodwill, and I realize some of that is gone, but there is a goodwill. Just means a brand name. And one of the things that I did last Wednesday after I did the space, as I went out into a friend's place out in the desert, and they're building this kind of retreat, and they had to demo this. It's like a huge kind of woodwork shop, kind of like math tool cabinet that like spanned probably 20 feet across and was like 10 or 12 feet high with shelves and everything. And, you know, they're a little bit older than me. And they said, hey, you know, if it'll help you, you could help us break this stuff, because they knew how I was feeling. And I talked to them about Luna, and they lost, I don't know, 10 or 12 grand or something. But they gave me a sledgehammer. They're like, have at it. And and I was just wrecking this thing. And it actually did feel really, really good, I have to say, which is why going to the gym or doing some kind of exercise. Yeah. But as we were demoing it, I was putting everything in all the scraps in a pile. And I thought about other times in my life where I had like cleaned out a room or a garage when I was moving. Other times I've done demo work when I was broke. Like I've done that actually kind of work where I can't really build stuff, but I can break stuff. And they're like, here, go demo this stuff. And whenever I do that, I think of it as almost like a metaphor for what I'm going through internally. And I just owned that day. And I thought, you know, this whole pile of scraps, this is like my Terra dream right here, right? This pile of scraps on the ground. And I just totally own that. But what it occurred to me that there are lots of assets still in the Terra community, and each one of you individually, right? Like you may feel like that pile of scraps, and there's assets and usage there. So before you've been too down on yourself, maybe now it's time to go and fill out that left column and write down what those assets are and rebuild. That's from there. Great.
Yeah, my friend told me the exact same thing, like the exact same thing, because he was doing that last night. And he started writing down like all the liabilities and expenses. And he was like, I can't do this. Then he came back and he started with the assets and the income. And he said it was much easier for him to get through it. So, yeah. And then to your point, it doesn't have to be monetary, right? It can be all the different things that got you to that place. So great. That's really good. Good takeaway.
Awesome.
All right, guys. Thank you so much. We're going to get through it. This is just a stepping stone in a process. Every single millionaire out there has gone through losing it all multiple times. And it's just, this is the path to it. And you found a community that, I know that there's many, I got DMs from lots of people that have been at ground zero multiple times in their life, have built everything back up. And if you've been looking for a community that has walked through that before, this is a community that there's many champions here. So I think Church Key is like the next guy that I'm going to interview. And he has been through Katrina. He's lost everything multiple times and has come back. So I think, you know, some people need those stories. Other people are ready to rip right now. Wherever you are, you know, you do you. And we're going to get through this. So have a great week. Thank you, Hutch, again. And God bless. I'll talk to you guys later.
See y'all.
All right. Bye.
Thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. That was Number One Foundations at Ground Zero with Hutch and Zeronomics. Lunaomics. Zeronomics. Recorded on Tuesday, May 17th, 2022. For TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening.
When I'm ripping and rapping, I ain't picking the bastards who be tricking the masses into getting their asses kicked. Feels like I've been getting my masters. Fuck a pump and double like the income that's passive. Raise up the bar before I fly right past it. I'll be writing rhymes till they put me in a casket. Old man shit, put the lotion on its skin. Then put that shit back in the damn basket. Like Buffalo Bill, the way I'm ruffling feathers. Snuffing out debt, cut the heads off collectors. Keep a couple heads in a jar as keepsakes. And take the the rest and turn them into free bait. Upgrade the feeling, supply the free base. Looking all professional, tools in the briefcase. Running on empty from gassing up my teammates. First one down, let me know how that sleep tastes.
Now places the lotion in the basket.
And impossible, defending the plausible from end to demonstrable. The mission isn't even worried about the clearance. Running interference till our enemies fear us. We're only one disappearance away from a bad day. Everybody trying to save face on the last day. Feeling fancy, about to pull out the masse. Drop the eight ball in passing, that's so passe. I'm getting nasty, you cannot put it past me. A mix between blasphemy and tuck everlasting. Feeling like a masterpiece, looking like a tragedy. Trying to get through another day full of savagery. Getting headstrong from working in the mess hall, all hands on deck, waiting for our next haul. I need the rest, got big plans to eject, so feed the grass and keep off the Kleenex.
I am interested in magic because I am fascinated with psychology. I love to learn about how people make inferences go, how they draw conclusions, find patterns and information. And in particular, I'm interested in all that can go wrong. How an individual can be led astray by certain cognitive vulnerabilities or exploited.
Channel spaces.